All right, guys, so we just filmed the first half of the podcast and one of the cameras wasn't recording. And of course, that's the one with the mics plugged into it. So the first 30 minutes is going to have a little bit different audio quality. But listen up anyways, because it's good stuff. And once you get to about 20 or 30 minutes into the podcast, the quality is going to get way better. So enjoy.
Mike Schneider Podcast.
Welcome everybody to my podcast. We're back after a long break, and we have Bailey from Blistered Fingers here, the creator of blistered wheels, blistered trucks, blistered fanny packs, and more. So yeah, welcome.
Blistered fanny packs kills me every time. As if it's such a big deal.
It's a big deal. You guys gotta get one of these fanny packs. They're really good. You can put all kinds of things in them. They have little compartments on the inside. Really good.
You're killing me.
But yeah, it's awesome to have you here. It's been a super fun weekend.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, stoked to do a podcast.
Me too. Me too.
So let's start it out with the beginning. Where were you born and what was your childhood like?
I was born in Oregon. I'm not gonna like dox myself, but I'm from Medford, and what was the other question?
What was it like growing up? Like, what was your childhood like?
Growing up was pretty cool. I used to play a bunch of sports. I played a lot of baseball, football, basketball, and then I got like into fingerboarding and stuff at a pretty young age.
How old were you when you started that?
I want to say I was like around 10,
cool.
Probably 10 years old, and I kind of took a really long break. It's funny because back when I used to watch you on YouTube, there was a point where I was trying to make like fingerboarding tutorials and stuff like that, and I recorded them with the laptop camera.
Nice.
Back in the day, because I didn't have like a camcorder or anything like that, so. Yeah, really, really bad quality.
And you were like 10?
Oh yeah, my face isn't even in the video. So glad it wasn't. I'd be so embarrassed. My voice was so squeaky and oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I gotta show you that still, I think we talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I wanna see that. It's
so
gonna be awesome. Yeah, I have really old videos like that of me too, so.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, how did you find fingerboarding?
So I found fingerboarding not like I was looking for it or anything like that. My Papa Larry got me a tech deck setup and like a ramp and stuff like that when I was super young, and then I got really obsessed with it when I was a kid. And then I had like a really long hiatus where I just quit altogether for years and years, and then one day I was on the job at one of my old jobs that I had, and there was a guy that I worked with named Mark who brought a fingerboard to work, and it was wood, and it blew my mind. I was like, there's no way that's a thing now. He's like, yeah, they're wood now, and they got real trucks and bushings and all kinds of stuff. So there's bearings in the wheels too. I was like, no way. It seemed impossible to me, like how small the bearings are to actually like get them in the wheel and stuff like that. So I kind of just went down a rabbit hole of like YouTube videos, just looking at fingerboarding stuff. Started with like obviously watching you again, just to see your progress and saw how big you got, and then Chubby Muffin.
Yep.
I watched a lot of Chubby Muffin videos. Shout out Jeremy. Probably David Jones. I saw a little bit of David Jones and the Gripson kid. He's cool too. Shout out all you guys. You guys are killing it. And so I saw everybody doing that. And everyone was super creative and like making their own obstacles and stuff like that. So I tried making obstacles. And then that didn't work out because I'm not a good craftsman when it comes to wood and stuff. And then I saw you could make your own decks. So I bought a really cheap mold and started trying to make decks. And those sucked. So I kind of like lost motivation for like trying to make stuff for a little bit, and then I I started watching, I forget the guy's name, he's in one of the Facebook groups, but it was a, he had a tutorial on how to make real skateboard wheels, like life size things, you know? Not mini ones, but big ones. And I was like, wow, I wonder if you could do that with fingerboards. So then I bought all the materials to do it and never looked back. Yeah, it worked. I was like, wow, it's this easy.
It's easy, but it's really hard.
Yeah.
Like,
it's complicated. It really is complicated, but once you get over the hump of, like, or the hurdle, I should say, of just, let me rephrase that. Once you get over the hurdle of, like, the trials, like, trying to do something and you eventually get it down, it's a pretty simple process, and it's like second nature to me. And I'm sure that now that you're part of it, you're probably going to get pretty familiar with it really fast. So.
Yeah, definitely. It's been super fun making them. It's totally different than how we make ours, so it's like, it's cool. It's really, really fun.
Yeah.
And also extremely challenging. Like, I don't know how you figured all that out. I mean, I know how, but it's like, you put a lot of work, like you were telling me, you put a year into it before you really got them how they are now, so.
Yeah, I didn't sell anything for a long time. Actually, I take that back. In the beginning, I was selling 3D printed wheels, and I sold maybe like three sets, and all the people that got them, they shattered.
Wow.
And so I was like, yeah, I can't be doing that anymore. So I stopped production on those, and then I just learn how to do your thing instead, and it's been a really good process. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sweet.
So like when somebody asks me how to make wheels or how did I figure it out, I just tell them, basically I watched a YouTube video on how to make them life size and then translated that to miniature form.
Yeah.
And if you have the patience, go ahead and try, because it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, there's all kinds of crazy equipment and techniques.
A lot of time that you have to invest into it before you get something that's actually worth selling. Matter of fact, that me selling everything, like I said, probably took about a year before I was comfortable with it.
Yeah.
I had to go through a huge process of trial and error, and a lot of money wasted, so...
Yeah, well, it was worth it, because what you have now is really cool, and, yeah, even compared to ones that are made out of skate wheels, they're different, and then compared to other urethane fingerboard brands, they're also different, so it's pretty sick. Like, the method of making these, I wouldn't quite have guessed that. I probably would have got halfway there and then, like, went in a different direction and not knowing what to do.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ways that you can make them.
Yeah.
Like, the way we do it is pretty easy.
Could be the best.
Yeah, it's probably the better
I
one.
I think it might be the best, because if you guys have never tried blistered wheels, they are like, the roundness of them is like, it feels like they're machined even though they're molded. Like, they're as smooth as like how flat face wheels are. Like, there's no bumps, there's no like egg kind of shape, there's no mold marks, nothing.
Yeah.
Super, super good. So, yeah, it's sick that they're made like a real skate wheel and with real urethane, but then they're... I don't know, they're just really good.
Mm-hmm.
They're awesome, because a lot of people know I was not a really big fan of urethane wheels, and I'm like, they feel good, but they never work good. Like, for me, they always make it harder to fingerboard, and I set up a set of these, and I just started fingerboarding crazy good and getting such good tricks and, like, really enjoying it, and I was like, these might be the best. I used to think other brands were the best. Now, I'm totally hooked on these wheels, and then... It's just crazy. We should talk about the merger, because some people probably don't know yet, but...
Or don't understand, because I made it an April Fool's joke and complicated it for everyone. I did that on purpose, just so everyone knows. I made it seem like it was fake, just so that when we did the real announcement, that it would hit harder.
Yeah.
You know, like, it would be like, wow, it actually is a thing. No, but anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, so... We're merging.
Yep, basically, Bailey posted that he needed to sell the company and get some help and stuff. And I reached out and we talked about it for a couple of weeks, probably. I mean, we made it happen pretty quick, but there was a lot over a few weeks of just like fine tuning it and stuff and figuring it out. And now it's done and it's official. And so basically, we're making the blistered wheels here. We're selling them through Flatface, and Bailey's still a part of it. So it's really cool to be working together.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have to fully give up your baby, because you know how hard that is.
It's depressing, but it's all good.
Yeah, but
it's for a good cause. It's gonna make my sanity at home like 10 times better, and I'm probably going to feel some type of regret, but at the same time, good regret. Like, man, I don't know. It's just really hard to like fathom that I put so much time into this and I just let it go. But
yeah,
it's going to probably the best person it could go to, and that's what matters to me.
That's an honor for you to say that, because like, I can't imagine what it's like to actually have to sell your company. So like, for you to be happy with where it's going versus you could have gave it to someone else and then not felt that way about where it was going. So the goal here is to keep it how it was,
mm-hmm.
keep it exactly how you made it. And, you know, we're still working together, so you have influence over it and all that. So it's like it's the best case scenario for you in that situation.
Yeah, no. And for those who don't know, we are like part owners. And so I still retain ownership of the trucks and stuff like that, but Mike's taken over just the wheels part of it, and he's going to have a field day with that. It's going to be really overwhelming in the beginning for him, but he's going to have a great time.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
I feel like as soon as I hop on that plane to go back home, I'm going to get a call from Mike in the airport. Hey, you remind me how to do this.
No, I think I got it all pretty much. Like,
it's pretty simple.
I might have little detailed questions, but we've been making wheels for the last 48 hours, like besides sleeping, just making wheels all day. So
yeah.
And trying all different things with it. So
he has to make his appearance. He does this in every episode, huh? I've seen
Jump
it
up.
So many times. It's so cute. I love cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have two cats at home, Kilo and Panic. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very cool. Kilo is all white. And he's not named after any kind of drugs. Kilo is spelled with a Q-U.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it's a Alaskan native for North Wind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a crazy name. That's so cool.
Yeah, my wife is from Alaska, so...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she named him. Not before we even got together, but then we also named our second cat after the Alaskan native, and her name is Panic, like I said, and I guess that means sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean like freaking out.
Nope, but she was like, not skittish, but like really, really high energy and stuff like that when she was younger, and so we just called her Panic because it fitted, or fit both ways.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah. That's awesome.
Because the Alaskan native definition of it was sister, and then obviously Panic means to be scared or whatever.
Yeah.
She was like kind of high anxiety, but not anymore. She's such a lover. She's probably the coolest cat ever.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah. She's so interesting.
Like, what's going on here?
But yeah.
Yeah, so back to Blister.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Tangent about my cat.
No, cat tangents are awesome. We love it. Oh, yeah. Do you want to tell people, like, why you wanted to sell the company?
Basically, it was getting really overwhelming. I've been doing it by myself for 4 years. And I just couldn't do it really anymore. It was taking a toll on my relationship with a wife, because I spend so much time working, and I also work other jobs, so I was full-time on the wheels for a while, but then I started to need like benefits and stuff like that, because I'm having a kid, so having benefits in the family would be nice, so that I'm covered, my wife's covered, and my kid is covered, so. But the reason, ultimately, was just me being overwhelmed.
Well, super stoked for your kid coming. That's awesome.
In October. It'll be interesting.
Yeah,
I have my mom's birthday's in October. My sister's birthday's in October. My nephew's birthday's in October. It's gonna be interesting.
It's a family tradition.
It's gonna be cool.
Yeah, that's great. Heck of Mustard. Cool to be merging. It's like super exciting, and we're gonna be able to keep the company going and take a lot of work off of your plate, and just keep everybody stoked on it. So
it's
cool.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be awesome. And like Mike said earlier, everything about the process has been taught to him and our employee.
Yeah.
And so the wheel making process should remain basically the same.
Yeah, exactly. Same material,
everything,
same
is,
techniques.
Everything that the process was is now in the hands of you guys. You'll be able to make them exactly the same way.
Yeah.
Like literally zero changes. I made him buy everything that was in my house to make all these things, so it'll be cool.
Yeah. And you can still make some too for the stocks like we discussed.
I can still make them whenever I'm feeling that itch, which is nice because then I don't feel like I'm completely out of the picture anymore.
Yeah, definitely.
That'll be cool.
Yep. So people can basically expect everything with the wheels to be the same, except there might be like new colors, or we'll probably like add shapes, but I'm not gonna like take away any shapes. So all the original shapes will be there, and then if there's any new shapes, they're still going to be made by you. So like, it's like our brains together, and then you making the new shape.
Yep.
And so it'll be still like a blistered shape. And then we'll also have collabs, flat face collabs.
Yeah, those G9.
Really cool
too.
Stuff. We just made G9 dual bearing wheels, and they're insane. I can't believe how good those are.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to work.
I knew it was going to work. I was confident.
He was confident. I was like, nah, this is not going to work. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I've also never made dual bearing wheels before. I tried, and it seemed super complicated, so I gave up on it.
No, it's really cool how, like, us coming together, like, I feel like we each have a certain angle that we come at it, and so, like, anything that you think is not possible, but I think is possible, or anything that I think is not possible, and you think it is, like, we'll push each other to be like, let's try it anyways. Like, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, we just wasted some molds and blah, blah, blah. But it'll be worth it if it works, so let's try it. And at least some of them will work. Like, this one worked. We got some more ideas coming up, too.
It's surprising it worked first try.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. And they're incredible, too. I can't wait till those are, like, in the public's hands, because I feel like that opens the floodgates of, like, so many different options.
Yep. But yeah, the G9s are insane. Everybody that was over this weekend who tried them had the same reaction. They were just like, you saw it in their face instantly. It was like, oh my god, I never felt a wheel like this before. It's like, they're really that crazy. So I can't wait for people to get them, like you said.
Yep, it's going to be really cool just to see all the reactions on that again. It's going to make me feel like I was just starting doing wheels again. All the positivity was there, and there was no negativity, but I'm sure there will still be some trolls out there, but it's whatever.
Yeah, it's always like that, but 99% of people are super happy.
Yeah. You ever notice, so say you'll have like hundreds of customers that buy one product, right? All it takes is one person to make a post that bashes the product. And then everyone assumes the worst moving forward when they buy them. Has that ever happened?
I don't know. I try not to look at any of that stuff, but maybe.
I typically, like, when I see somebody making a comment about how something didn't work for them, I try to make it right for them.
I know what you mean. I do the same. Like, if we have, like, let's say someone gets a wheel that didn't roll or something, And then they're like complaining about it on like 10 different forums,
yeah.
like online.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, did you email us about it? And they're like, no.
Oh.
And I'm like, if you get any product from Flatface that doesn't work or has a problem, you send us an email and we'll literally send you a new one. We might ask you to email us a photo or a video just to like prove that it's there. But like, as soon as you do that, you're going to get a free wheel,
yeah.
like,
no.
or a free whatever it is. If you're something else is defective, like, we have super good customer service. We try our best with that. I know you also do.
Yeah.
And so now people will get that from us through, you know, blistered customer service will be through us. And we'll make it right if there's any problem. We also, like with your wheels, the problems are so minimal. Like, I think we had like one wheel we ever had to fix for somebody, like out of all the sets we ever sold. Like,
it's
so
crazy.
Many.
Yeah,
so,
but that's what I'm trying to say is there's that one person.
Yeah, yeah, the one
bad set or whatever, and then they go on a page and they're like, "I'll never buy these again," blah blah blah, and then the rest of the community sees that and they're like, "Oh, maybe there's something wrong with those." And like,
yeah,
like guy, you could reach out to me instead of making a post about it.
Yeah, yeah,
I would have taken
then,
care of you.
Exactly, like then people get like
yeah.
they don't know if it's like a thing that happens often because they see
yeah.
somebody complain. But yeah, I think overall, like even when that does happen, I feel like it, people kind of bounce back because like over time they see like 100 people using the product and not having
yeah.
a problem with it, and they're like, oh, okay, it is good. Maybe I'll try it. And then they try them and they're like, oh, they work.
Mm-hmm.
They do work,
mm-hmm.
and they work really good.
Yeah, they do work. They're actually they're good.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're super good. Like my whole thing has always been like. Fingerboards that help you fingerboard well, like make it easy to be a good fingerboarder, like learn harder tricks, like be happy with your style and performance and like all that stuff. So if you have a product that's good, that's what matters, you
mm-hmm.
know, that's what matters the most. So that's why I'm hyped about these, because for urethane wheels, like these are the best performing ones that I've used at this point.
Well, thank you.
So
it's a high praise.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely. You did a really, really good job.
Hey, thank you.
I remember still, like, the first wheels I got from you. I think you just, like, were like, hey, can I send you some wheels to check out or
yeah,
something?
I sent you one of every shape that I had.
Yeah, there was so many wheels, and I never heard of you or anything. Like, I just got them. I didn't know what to expect, because just, like, it could be junk, it could be good,
yeah.
it could be okay. I put them on my board, and I was like, these are really good. I think we should sell these or something. These are, like, way better than I expected. And even looking at them, I was like, oh, they might be good. Let's see. And then I put them on. I was like, whoa. So.
Thank you, man.
And now we're here a few years later. So.
Yeah, crazy.
That's sick.
Shout out Cody Mexico.
Yep, he connected us, right?
Yeah. Yeah, great guy. He's the owner of the Facebook fingerboarding group called
oh,
Fingerboarding
yeah.
Unlimited.
Yep.
Yeah. He put me and Mike's mom into contact with each other years ago.
Yeah.
And then that happened. And I was like, wow. I could not believe it. So I used to watch this guy forever ago. So just weird. Weird that it just, the stars aligned and it worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now look at us. Yep.
Yeah, it's really cool.
All right, cool.
I'm excited to get back over there so we can start making stuff again.
Yeah, me too, and bring my Thai food over there.
Oh, yeah. I've never had Thai food till today, so
yeah.
that was a experience. It was good. It was good, yeah. What was it called?
Pad Thai.
Pad Thai?
Yep. Pad Thai, like a
pad. Thai.
Like a pad.
Yeah, that was good. It was like chicken and some weird noodles that I've never seen before, and... I don't know, dude. I'm like, when I eat something, it's usually like the same thing every time. Speaking of, Raising Cane's, bro. I gotta get me some of that tonight. I'm limited on time. I don't know how much time we got, but I gotta get some Raising Cane's.
Yeah.
The best chicken.
We'll order some when we're done this podcast.
For sure.
Send it over there.
Yeah.
And then we'll be in the basement, and it'll be waiting for us.
And I'll just be munching on chicken while you guys are making wheels.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always eating, too, so it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the heck? Every time people come here, I feel like every time like a new person comes here, they always end up trying like a food that they never had before. I feel like that just happens a lot. Yeah. It's not always like Thai or sushi, but like sometimes it is, but sometimes other stuff too, like Indian food or like whatever. We just eat all kinds of things.
Yeah, you guys are adventurous. My wife doesn't let me eat what I want to eat sometimes because she's not adventurous when it comes to food. She likes what she likes, and that's that.
Yeah.
She doesn't even let me cook. She's a great woman. She does all the cooking.
Nice.
Yeah. It makes me feel lazy.
But you're such a hard worker. You're working all the time, so.
Hey, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm pumped to get back over there so that we can start making some stuff that you've probably never even seen before and knew that you could do, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been asking, like, if the price is going to change for blistered wheels and stuff like that, or, like, if anything's going to change. So I just want to, like, take this opportunity to tell people we're going to try to keep it, like, as close to how it is as possible. But as you heard, we have an employee now. In addition to just us, like there's a full employee doing everything, making the wheels with us. So we might have to raise the price a few bucks, but we're going to keep it as low as possible.
Yeah. And with like what's going on in the world right now, some distributors might start raising their prices anyways because of tariffs or whatever. So if they get their stuff from out of the country and they sell it to us, they're probably going to end up raising the price for materials too. So.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully not, though. But the point is, we're going to do our best to keep it as affordable as possible. And if it's a couple dollars higher or something, it's going to be worth it anyways, because these are really amazing wheels.
Yeah. Those G9s, I'm going to just keep going off on a tangent about those, bro. They're so crazy.
They're so crazy.
Yeah.
Seriously, when people use those, they're going to be like...
Yep.
Oh, my God.
And I got on one of the trucks. I don't know... if it would work, because I didn't actually get to try them. I only put one wheel on, but on my trucks, blistered trucks.
Yeah.
We got the dual bearing wheel on there, and it seemed like it was pretty snug on there. So I'm gonna give that a try.
They might work. You might have to put the nut on backwards or something.
I also have some skinny nuts at home, so they're not quite as long, and would probably work better.
That might work.
Yeah.
Dual bearing upgrade package. All you have to do is get those nuts, and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
We'll see. That could be cool.
Yep. Yeah. I'll give that a shot and see what happens. But
yep.
if it works, I'll probably just make a post about it, because I'd be too stoked not to. So.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to.
For sure.
That's awesome. But yeah, your trucks are sick too. We haven't really talked about the trucks yet that much, and the trucks will be available on Flatface also. So. Mm-hmm. Something that I thought was super sick is how you can take the kingpin out and you can screw it in through the bottom, or you can screw it in through the top without having to buy a different base plate or anything. So you buy the blistered trucks and you have the option of doing inverted or regular kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
That's super sick. Like when I realized that, I was like, how did I not realize this sooner? Like I didn't realize that the first trucks that I got and put together, I just put them on, and like the second set that I opened up, I was like, oh, that's... No way, what? Like, I was blown away by it.
Well, originally, the sets that I sent you in the beginning, I was having an issue with, like, a distributor of kingpins, lock nuts, and stuff like that. And they kept sending me the wrong diameter kingpin. And so it was, like, really making me upset about it. So I just decided to release them as a... without the standard conversion. So the ones that you had originally don't have the standard kingpin in them or the extra lock nuts. And then I'd say like a month after that was when I finally got the right size. And basically I went on my website and I put first aid kits up for $1. Just
a dollar.
Yeah, just
that's awesome.
Just to make it right for people that that already had them and were expecting them to work the way that they were advertised out of the package, because I just felt bad. And so I even to this day I still had them on the website, like the first kits for a dollar.
Yeah.
Some people take advantage of it and buy two or whatever, and then they have four free lock nuts. So, and I mean, those, some people sell lock nuts for quite a bit of money, which is weird to me because they're tiny. No, yeah, so basically it was $2 to get a set of extra lock nuts, and then you would have those kingpins obviously as well. But yeah, if you needed lock nuts, I felt like that was the best option at the time. It wasn't even necessarily that you needed the pins, but
yeah.
Yeah,
it's like a hack to get cheap lock nuts
pretty much. Yeah,
you must have got a ton of lock nuts to do that many sets.
An absurd
trucks.
Amount of
yeah, so that's
lock
why
nuts.
You
yeah.
probably got a really good price on it.
Thousands of
yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of thousands, that project cost me so much money.
Yeah, didn't you say you sold your car to do that?
Yeah, my dream car, too. I was so sad.
I didn't know it was your dream car.
Yeah, when I was in, like, high school, I saw that car just one day and was like, I am going to have one of those one day. Just because it looked like it would be really fun to drive. And I wasn't wrong. It was amazing to drive. The handling on it was crazy. I don't want to like get myself in trouble here, but I did 140 on the freeway.
Oh, sick.
And it was wild. But yeah, it was a 2017 Toyota 86, or GT86 is technically what it's called. But yeah, I know that Christian, the owner of Calle, however you say it,
yep.
He has the same car.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm jealous that he still has his and I had to sell mine.
Maybe you can buy another one sometime.
Yeah. No, I might. We'll see. Most of the money that I have now is just going to go towards the house and towards my new baby that's coming. So
that's a smarter move.
Yeah. But
it's crazy how much you can spend on cars and other stuff, but it's like way better to invest in a house and in your family and stuff like that. So
yeah, especially when you get a car, depending on the car you buy, as soon as you drive it off the lot, you lose like half your money.
Yep.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, I always buy a used car. Like you can get a really nice car if it's a few years old and in good shape and save so much money.
Yeah.
Like I used to have a Mercedes and everyone was like, oh my God, how much was that? And like, I'll tell them how much I paid for it. And they're like, I paid more for my like Toyota SUV or like something like that.
Wow.
Like, it's not that expensive. If you go a few years back and get a used one, you can get any brand of car that you want pretty much. Maybe not like a Ferrari, but
yeah,
you know, like Mercedes used is like very affordable.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more than some others, but like compared to a new car, it's super affordable.
Yeah, well, I bought my car off the lot, and it had 6 miles on it, and that was because somebody test drove it or something, but
well,
yeah, no, it was like $20,000 when I bought it, and then I drove it for 3 or 4 years. I think I was on year four, yeah, and then this whole idea came to me that I could make trucks, so I spent like a whole year designing them and getting prototypes made and stuff like that so that I could test them before I actually casted them out of metal and stuff. So yeah, the car, I drove it for 30,000 miles and sold it for more than I bought it for.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Sick.
Which was awesome.
That's crazy.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, that doesn't happen often, but I have been hearing that happens once in a while these days.
Yeah. Well, this was back when the car market was booming.
Yeah.
And it's not really as high as it was back then, but it's like, it was crazy. And I wrecked it too, which is even
what?
It's even weirder to me that it sold for that high. But
I mean, you couldn't have wrecked it too bad then.
No, it was all right. This lady pulled out in front of me in like a intersection.
Whoa.
And so I hit her head on.
Dang.
Yeah. We were all good. But she had a whole family in her car, and I felt really bad. But yeah, full circle. Let's go back to the car. So I sold a car for $20,000, and I bought it for $20,000. So, I mean, and I got to drive it for 3 years. But
that's a good deal.
The trucks cost a lot of money. We'll just say that. But now I make my own trucks. So.
Yep. Yeah, I looked into making trucks many years ago, and it was super expensive.
Yeah.
And it was more than what you spent, and it was at least 10 years ago. But
yeah. No, I had quotes from other people, and it was an astronomical number, but then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's super expensive, and then it's like, if you don't get it right, then it's a waste of a crazy amount of money. But if you do get it right... It's awesome.
Yeah. No, I feel like I was blessed that this worked as well as it did. And I mean, I do eventually want to go over it and try to do like a V2 where the edges of the trucks are like more tapered. And
let's do it together. Let's do some kind of...
That'd be wild.
We'll work something out, I think. It would be sick.
We can definitely try it. I know people have been asking about that.
Flat face blistered collab truck.
I could definitely
we'll make it happen.
Put... flat face on one of the base plates sides and then blistered on the other. And then maybe we could do like...
All right, let's do it.
We could do like a flat face logo on there somewhere and a blistered logo on there somewhere. Yeah, we could definitely do that. It'd be cool.
Yeah. All right, let's do it. Here's the plan. We do that, the base plate, flat face blistered. We redesign the base plate and the hanger together till we're both super stoked on it. And we make it... fit dual bearing wheels.
Oh, that'd be even cooler. With dual bearing trucks, so you know how Carmel has those like washers?
I heard of it. I didn't see those, but I heard of it.
So they're like a millimeter thick, I think. If you had a dual bearing truck and you put a spacer on it.
Then you could use a single bearing.
Then you could use a single, right?
Sure. If you had the right size.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I don't know if it's a millimeter, but whatever size it is, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Because I think Carmel...
We can do that.
Yeah, I think Carmel, his trucks are technically either one.
Cool.
But if you pull the spacers off, then you could do, obviously, the dual bearing.
That's a great idea. People will be hyped on these trucks.
And technically, Vortex beat me to the standard or inverted.
What's Vortex?
You've never heard of Vortex?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Bro.
Is it good?
Vortex trucks.
I don't know.
Oh my. Mike's behind, guys.
Dude, I go to my house, I guarantee you no one there ever heard of Vortex.
You're kidding.
We all talk about all the same stuff together all the time. So if I haven't heard of it, they probably haven't. There's a small chance they have, but like I doubt it.
That blows my mind. I have...
But also they never heard of Blistered, and I was like,
yeah,
I've been
well,
selling them for years.
That's fair. I guess.
I don't know. Everyone's in their own little pockets of, like, who they heard of and who they haven't heard of. And, yeah. Like,
there's... The saying goes, it's just... Or it's your world. I'm just living in it. Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's crazy how many people... Like, you have a huge fan base, and then I also know people who haven't ever heard of you. So it's, like, there's all these different pockets in fingerboarding. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how it happens. It's a niche hobby.
I mean, it's cool. It makes sense, like,
yeah.
People gravitate to the things that they tried already and
yep.
Probably won't experiment for a while until they get bored of whatever they're using, so.
Yeah, I feel like a big thing for me was just, like, whatever's on Black River was always, like, what I heard of.
Yep.
Or, like, anyone, like, connected with Black River and then, like, what they were using and, like, those people and, I don't know, like, I guess if you, like, if you're, like, a big fan of, like, a different company in that way, then you, like, start seeing what their team riders are doing and
yeah.
Branch out that way. So it's like a tree branch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, Timo in, where is it? Germany?
Yep.
Yeah. He's in Germany. He has blistered trucks and wheels in the store, the ASI Berlin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, shout out Timo. Dude's awesome. But if it weren't for one of my old team riders, Clumsy went over to ASI Berlin and made him try them.
Yeah.
And he's like,
"That's sick.
I ride for this guy. You should try them." And then Timo hit me up. I was like, "Wow, that actually worked."
Yeah, dude. Like I said, as soon as you try them, you're like, "Whoa, okay,
yeah.
This is something special."
Yeah.
Everyone who tries them, like, I haven't seen anyone that's just like, "Nah."
Well, that's a good sign, right?
Yep. It's a really good sign.
Yeah.
Today's episode is sponsored by Ecolapto. Ecolapto is an interdisciplinary cognition and complex systems research institute
with a focus on entrepreneurship. They host events for the most creatively intelligent to build their unorthodox ideas in a critically receptive ecosystem. If you are an academic or independent polymath working at the intersection of neuroscience, biology, physics, mathematics, or the arts, reach out to them on Instagram and X at Ecolapto or visit ecolapto.org. Thank you guys for sponsoring the episode. It really means a lot and it helps the show to continue.
What's your fingerboard setup? That's an easy one.
As of today, this is the first time I've ever used a flat-faced deck.
That's crazy.
It's weird. Yeah, I don't know why. Every flat-faced product I've ever bought was wheels or a ramp from Black River or stuff like that. Because my obsession became wheels, not necessarily the deck.
Yep.
Because the wheels make everything perform differently.
Deck does too, but...
The deck obviously plays a part in it, but I feel like once you get comfortable on one deck, then it's pretty normal to like want to stay on those. But like wheels, there's grip and there's softness, hardness, and all kinds of variables that can completely change the way that they ride, obviously. Yeah. So
the size, the shape, everything.
Yeah, size, shape, all kinds of stuff. And obviously that's the same with a deck, but like, I don't know. I feel like wheels are something that's easier to like branch off and try other things than like decks. Because when you get on a new deck, it kind of throws off your whole fingerboarding experience for a little bit until you get used to them again.
Yeah, exactly.
But like this one took me like 10 minutes and I was pretty good on it. It has really nice pop. Probably the most pop in a deck that I've ever used because I was launching this thing earlier unintentionally.
But
you
have to pop less on it.
Yeah, and it's a weird, cool feeling because you don't have to do as much and it does what you want it to.
Yep. That's what the
and
goal
more.
Is. Yeah, and more.
Yeah. But yeah, so flat face deck, obviously blistered wheels, blistered trucks.
Yep.
I tend to only rep my own brand because I feel like if you're not repping your own brand, you probably don't like your own product. And I just get a weird vibe when I see people that own brands that are not using their own product. It's like,
yeah,
it just gives a weird message to me. It's like, so are you just in it for the money that's involved or do you actually have a passion for what you make?
Yeah.
No, that's me. I don't know.
There's something that I've been noticing in the last few years is that there's a lot of people who make stuff that looks really good, but it sucks.
Yeah.
Like really beautifully made fingerboard decks that are like the best design, best lacquer, like nice rounding, and then like it just doesn't work. It just doesn't perform that good.
I remember you saying something about, I don't remember where, but it might have been on like Instagram or something, where you said that they're... The biggest thing when it comes to making a deck that performs well is the wheelbase.
Yeah, it's not exactly the wheelbase. It's like the way... I mean, it's basically the wheelbase, but it's the wheelbase in relation to like where your kicks are.
Yeah.
So if you don't position your holes right, then you can just have like such bad pop.
Yeah.
There's other factors too, but I can't give out all the secrets.
Well, yeah. No, but I saw that one. That was public.
That's a huge one. That's a really good one. And I think the best thing is, like, if you fingerboard a lot, you can tell if your thing is good or not, you know? Just like your wheels, like, you can tell if they're good or not. You worked on them for a year because you were probably not satisfied at first.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes, you know, being like, is this the best it can be or is it worse than it could be? And then,
well, even these, man, I always find ways to make things better, but that's just my personality.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're the same way.
Yep, I'm always...
Always trying to improve things.
Yeah.
And it's a good mindset to have. And it's probably why we click pretty good.
Yeah.
Because we're both very driven and trying to make the best products that we can.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy. As soon as we started talking, I think we both noticed that we have something very similar in that. Like, we're both just like... on the same wavelength or something.
Yeah, it's weird.
And I never, like, talk to someone else who knows, like, how the stuff is made on like a similar level to me, where we could really like, yeah, just kind of like designing stuff together, like just make it. Like, it's awesome, dude. It's so fun.
Yeah, being able to like translate is essentially the word that I think that is best to use there. So like, you would say something and it clicks right away in my head.
Yeah.
Whereas if somebody is like not as experienced in this and doesn't really know much about it, and they were asking me to do certain things, it would probably go in one ear and out the other ear.
Yeah, or you have to you have to like slow down and simplify it and stuff. And yeah, like when you were telling me stuff and I just knew what you were saying, then I could say something else and you knew it also, and it's like cool, we could like just like innovate at a rapid pace here.
Yep. Yeah. It's sick. It's gonna be cool. There's gonna be a lot of projects in the future, and
yeah, it's a lot of ideas.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of different ideas that come out between the two of us, and we'll figure out how to apply them to the business.
Yep.
And hopefully this thing blows up.
Yeah, it should, because anyone who hasn't tried them yet, as they try them more and stuff, we'll have them hopefully available like pretty regularly, mm-hmm. as much as possible. So like most of your stocks that I got sold out really fast.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I remember I sent you like a whole batch of, I think like 100 or something like that a while back. And then you contacted me like a week or two later and you're like, hey, can I get more?
Yeah, that was a crazy one.
Yeah. The funny thing about that is like, I don't buy enough bearings really to even do bulk, especially when this guy orders stuff. But so he contacted me, like I said, like a week or two later, and was like, hey, can I get more? And I had no bearings and I was waiting on more bearings to show up. So I was like, if you're cool with waiting a little bit, I'm down. But yeah,
and now we'll be able to make bigger stocks and like all that stuff, get everything like more streamlined, because we have multiple people that we can all do it. So it'll be good, just so there's enough for everyone who wants to try it. And we'll still have limited stuff, because like everything's super small batch. It's just that we're making a lot of batches. Yeah. So it's like we can make wheels that there's only a few sets of, and you can have a really special wheel, even if there's a huge stock and there's tons of stuff in stock, but it's like one of a kind or five of a kind or whatever, like even customs once in a while, right?
Yeah, the thing about customs that not a lot of people understand is that there's a lot of time that goes into making these things, and when you open the floodgates to customs and like multiple orders of customs, then there's a lot of waste that I typically just threw into like mystery products. So we might even do mystery stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. Just, it's not really waste, it's just extra.
Yeah.
Waste implies that it's bad.
Well, I'm not saying like actually wasting anything, because I don't waste anything.
And
we were talking about that.
Picking up the scraps and blending.
Yeah. Yeah. We can talk about that. Everybody knows that I do that. So like in the past, I did these wheels where I technically they're the only real recycled wheels, because they are literally recycling wheels. You're not just
recycling fingerboard wheels instead of
Me, I think there's a difference between recycling and upcycling, and I feel like the recycled wheels on the market are typically just upcycling.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
Yeah, and so like really recycling wheels is like taking bits and pieces or whatever, and like maybe even bland wheels or whatever, and I grind them all up into like tiny, tiny, tiny bits, and then you get your confetti wheels.
Yeah.
And those are neat. I did glow fetties once too.
Wow, that's sick.
And those glow in the dark and then have little confetti bits in them. And then sometimes I've also done where I had a bunch of glow batches, and so I just recycled all of those little glow pieces and basically made my own version of what Deli does. Have you seen the Deli wheels that look crazy?
No.
That have like multiple colors and stuff. It was forever ago. When I saw those, I was like, I need to learn how to do that. And that's kind of what inspired it. Yeah, here you go. Yeah.
Sick.
They're cool.
Yeah, that's
really
crazy.
Cool. But yeah, I give Deli credit for inspiring me to like recycle stuff, because like I don't even know that they are recycled or whatever, or how they do it. I don't know their process.
Yeah, there could be a swirl or it could be, but either way, that looks so
sick. It looks insane, and I just had to try it. But anyways, yeah.
It's awesome.
So I did wheels like that where I just took glow pieces and basically just ran with it. But
yeah. It's sick. Yeah, it's so cool. There's so much stuff we can do.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
Anything, like I said, anything you could think of, you can do. Like one time I made snow globe wheels.
Whoa.
And so I did the, like, glitter, and I did, like, a white snow-looking chunks just like that.
Yeah.
And I put them in a wheel.
On a clear wheel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was a snow globe for Christmas.
That's sick.
Yeah.
And we can do those shiny edition wheels. So, like, the normal wheels are, like, kind of like a matte finish, just like regular.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a special way that we can make extra shiny wheels. So if people want a special
edition. I've done them before, but I didn't market them as shiny.
I think we should, so it's like an option. Like,
it was a happy accident. I just ran with it. I was like, oh, I didn't know I could do that.
Now we know.
Yeah. It's me cool. Personally, I'm not a fan of the way that they look, and that's why I never really like went for that. But some people are into the like more plasticky looking wheels, so
yeah, it does kind of make them look plasticky, but it's cool. Like when they came out, I was like, wow, I kind of like this better. And then after I saw the matte ones again, I was like, no, actually I like the matte ones better, but I think the shiny is cool.
Yeah,
like some people will probably like that, so it's a cool option. And another option is like the ones with the lines on the riding surface, like how skate wheels, when they're brand new,
the
they have
streets.
The lines. What?
The Pro Streets.
That's the one that has those?
Yeah, sick. Like they're like tread almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. I call them tread.
Yeah, and it does give you more grip.
Yeah, they're more grippy.
And but yeah, that's pretty sick.
Yeah, those ones are... God, designing those took forever. And it's part of why I didn't want to do them anymore, but it's whatever. We can bring those back. People have been asking me to bring them back for a while.
Let's bring them back tonight. Do we have them
here? Yeah, but those versions are kind of eh.
All right, make a better
one.
So
I'll make better ones.
Cool.
Yeah, so the Pro Streets are cool. They have, like, these grooves in them that basically just act as, like, additional grip. So, like, just think of, like, a tire. Like the tread of a tire. What's the purpose of the tire tread?
Yeah, grip. More grip. But dude, you also have the tires.
Yeah, the tires.
You have wheels
are
that are
crazy.
Actual tires with like real tires.
Shout out to Lab Wheels for that idea, because he mocked up like a 3D, like a 3D model of some tire wheels.
Yeah.
He never actually released. I don't think, to my knowledge, I don't think that he ever released them. But I saw them and I was like, I have to do that. But yeah, I try not to say that I'm like the original of anything, because I am pretty much inspired by what I see and try to recreate it. But
yeah, it's cool that you're transparent about that, like when you have an inspiration and just like shout them out and be like, you know, thanks to this guy for the idea.
Yeah.
And it's like, even though you're using someone else's idea, you're putting your own twist on it, so it's not just the same. Like, people need to realize, like, if you're new to the fingerboard scene, if you copy something exactly one for one, that's not cool.
Yeah.
But if you're inspired by something and you make it your own and it's similar, that's a lot cooler than, you know, like, as long as it's not the same, if it's, like, similar, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's cool to, like, go off people's ideas and then everyone keeps innovating.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you know Dude Guy, right?
Yep.
Did you see his, like, monster truck wheels?
Yeah, those were sick, dude.
Dude, they're crazy. I wanted to make some like off-road wheels like that too, but he beat me to it.
Those are super sick. I forgot we were doing a podcast. We're just like talking so much. How about some podcast questions, some classic ones?
Let's get to it.
Ready? What's the best advice you've ever heard? Just in life, not fingerboarding, anything.
If you ain't first, you're last. I'm just kidding. I don't remember what that's from. I think it's Talladega Nights. Have you watched that?
Not in a long time.
Dude. But yeah, anyways. No, I kind of live by that, I feel like. But at the same time, I'm not like a... I don't like to be competitive like that, so...
I would describe you more as motivated than competitive.
Yeah.
That's like how I am anyways. I feel like you're kind of similar.
Yeah.
Like, some people are like super competitive, but I'm just like, I just want to do cool stuff.
Yeah.
And just go for it.
Yeah. No, I think motivation's good. It's good for the soul.
Yeah.
Sometimes they lose motivation, but... when I gain it again, it's like 10 times what it was before, so.
Yep. Yeah, sometimes it's like, I feel like when there's no motivation, it's like, because you're just doing something else at the time. And then it's like, when it's time for something, it'll come back. Yeah. And there's also another thing you can do if you don't have motivation is just don't care. Just do something, and then you'll get the motivation.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens. So it's like, don't even worry if you don't have it. If you need to do something, just do it.
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes people care too much about how they feel, but it's like, if you know you want to do something or wanted to or you had the idea, like, at least do it,
yeah.
You know? And yep. Then you'll probably start, and then usually once you start, you get hyped.
Yeah.
And then you're, sure. like, super in it.
Yeah. I mean, there was a period of time for, like, a couple months that I was just burnt on making wheels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Took a little break. And then I was just, like... super unmotivated to do anything, and then I basically just started designing new wheel shapes again, and it was like sparking so much creativity, and motivation went way up, and then I just started slinging wheels out again. And you'll go through those phases in life where you just get bored of something for a little bit, and then you get approached with new ideas, or somebody asks you to do something or whatever, and it inspires you to start getting back into whatever you're into.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I like to be creative and, like, switch things up a little bit here and there and, like, keep it exciting.
Yeah. The original question.
What was it? Oh, the best advice.
The best advice. Yeah. Sorry, we totally went over that.
It's a good tangent.
If you ain't first, your last thing is hilarious. It applies to a lot of things, but it's not really like a serious quote, so yeah. I don't know. Yeah, quotes aren't really my thing. I guess one quote that I specifically remember that I used to apply when I was like into sports as a kid: pain is weakness leaving the body.
Yep, it's a classic.
Yep, and I kind of lived by that, and technically I still do, because... I literally have blistered fingers.
Oh, yeah. Tell people where the name came from.
It wasn't actually that. It just ironically happened. The name came from... I wanted the acronym of the brand to be BFFB. And then I initially had a partner in this, and his name is Brett. Shout out, Brett. Because we were originally making decks and trying to make obstacles and stuff like that. I think I talked about that earlier, but I didn't really shout Brett out earlier. So I've given him his flowers, because he deserves it. And the only reason why he stopped so early in the beginning was because he ended up having a kid. And then he said that he wanted to enlist in the military and a bunch of stuff. So bunch of life things happened with Brett, and yep. Me and him kind of went our separate ways, and I mean, we're still homies, but he just does his own thing now. But he made the acronym, or the letters I had the idea of, but the words that filled the acronym were him. And
cool.
So I said, I wanted it to be BFFB, and then he said, well, why don't we do something like blistered fingers? Blistered fingers fingerboarding. And I was like,
yeah,
that's a good idea. Let's do that, because it sounded cool. And I mean, blistered fingers means that you're working hard, so.
Yep.
Yep. working hard or hardly working.
Yeah. No, you're always working hard. Like, this whole trip, it's been nonstop working.
And sleep.
It's awesome. And sleeping.
And eating.
Yep.
Yep.
Eat, sleep, and make wheels.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So fun.
Yep.
And we filmed a few clips in between.
Yeah, yeah. I don't fingerboard that often anymore, but now I have the time to.
Yeah, dude, I can't imagine how busy that making those was keeping you, because, like, I can see it. Just, like,
it consumes your whole day.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. That's why we had to hire a whole person to basically be doing this. So
yep.
It's cool.
And I hope he doesn't lose his sanity doing it.
No, he'll be good, because, like, he'll be doing other stuff with us, too.
Yeah.
So there's a rotation. It's not going to be just that. He'll be, like, one day here, one day there, and, like, we always got different stuff. He's always so hyped, dude. He's like, yo, I put these wheels together for you, and I got this cool idea while I was doing it. And then he'll tell me the idea, and I'm like, dude, let's do it. That's awesome. Like, we're all just kind of like that all the time here. So,
yeah, good.
Like, tossing ideas back and forth, and, yeah,
dude.
Just being super excited about it. So
now it'll be even easier to make whatever wheel you have ever wanted.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's awesome.
So, for example, I don't know if we announced it already, but there'll be urethane G4s soon.
Yep.
And I know the G4s are a pretty popular shape at Flatface, so.
Yeah, it's my most popular shape right now.
And we are talking about whether or not we want to put branding on them.
What do you guys think? Leave a comment.
That's so cringy.
Right?
I hate
Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.
Hey there.
Yeah.
Don't forget to like the video.
Why don't we just do both? We can do it with and without wording.
Yeah.
Might as well.
That's dabbling into, like, old Joy Colts. I remember that used to be a thing back when Matt owned it.
Okay.
So, like,
yeah.
Some people would get wheels that had zero Joy Colt embossing on them.
Yeah.
And some people would get all embossing. Or some people would get...
Oh, like, he stopped paying attention to
yeah,
which ones
some people
were
would
in
get
sets.
Three wheels that had no embossing, and then one wheel had it.
I think that's how they do it now, is one wheel has it and three don't.
Really?
I think so. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's like that. That would be funny if I'm just totally wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anymore. I haven't bought any since Matt owned it, but Scott, you're doing a good job.
Scott's doing awesome with it.
Yep. I see your work all over every Facebook page and everything, so it seems like the Joy Colt hype is still there. You're doing a good job, and you're doing a lot better of a job than Matt did, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Seems the community is back to liking Joy Colt again, so.
Yep. Yeah, Scott's customer service and everything is on point with that, so.
Yeah, not to bash Matt, because I think Matt's a great guy, too. I just think that he got too deep into other things, and life happened, and kind of similar to me, man. I'm like,
you're busy.
Busy as hell.
But you're busy with good stuff. We
yeah.
don't know what his thing was, but
yeah.
yours is good, so.
Yeah, I just don't want to, like, bash Matt or make an accusation or anything
no,
like that.
No, he did amazing work.
Yeah, he did a great job.
With what he created and the company that he ran, and I think it was just, like, I don't know, doing the actual orders and shipping and customer service, and, like, that's a lot for one person, and, like,
yeah.
some people are built for it and some people aren't.
Yeah,
I think it was just too hard for him, especially, like, when a brand gets big, like, you know, you felt the need to sell it also, because it's like, oh, it's too much for me to handle, kind of.
Yeah.
So it can get there, but.
Yep. No, it's stressful, especially, like, me being, like you said, the person that makes everything, packs everything, ships everything.
Yep.
And that's not only with wheels, but with trucks and bushings and.
Yeah, that's like two full-time jobs.
My wife makes decks, so like.
Cool.
There's a bunch of stuff that we were doing for like side projects and stuff like that. That just my whole day was consumed by this stuff, and I was like losing time with my wife and family,
yep.
and just trying to prioritize those things before the inevitable happens and somebody dies, and I regret not being there for the special times of my life. So, yeah, I'm gonna enjoy the rest of my 20s, because I don't know if a lot of people know, I'm only 25. I turned 26 here soon. So I'm like mid-20s, and the beginning of my 20s have been consumed by work. Work, work, work. Work, work. By Rihanna. Isn't it Rihanna?
I don't know.
Yeah. Work, 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 work. Yep. Anyway, no, that's my life.
Music. You want to talk about music speaking?
Yeah, why not? That's cool. Yeah. Not a lot of people knew that.
And knew what?
That I make music.
Now they know.
Yeah, which is crazy because I could have used the Western social media to like promote my music for a long time, but I'm just not like that. I don't want to like intertwine the two hobbies, and I don't feel inclined to like promote myself in other things because I just wanted it to be focused on Blistered.
Yeah.
But this is a podcast, so it's different. Cause it's like more about
everything,
not just the brand. So anyway, the guy behind the brand right here. I used to make music. I used to fly to LA pretty regularly, and I worked with some decently big artists and got studio time quite a bit there. And yeah, so that was cool. I won't name drop any of them because it's none of your business, and I don't make music anymore, so it's not like that cool to me as it used to be. But
yeah, well, everything you showed me today was like sick.
Yeah, it's been years since I hopped on the computer and made beats and stuff because just been too consumed in this.
So. Yeah, who knows, maybe you'll find a little free time and get back into it.
I probably will. Yeah, honestly, yeah. There's times where I'm like in the middle of making wheels and I'll have a melody in my head.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, that'd be really cool if I made a beat out of that. And then 10 minutes later, I'm like so consumed and putting bearings and wheels and stuff like that I just completely forget to translate it to a computer and make it actually into something. And then by that time, I had completely forgotten what the melody even was.
Yeah, dang.
Because sometimes I'll like think of melodies or whatever, and I'll pop my phone up and like basically sing the melody that I'm thinking of so that I don't forget it later on. Like, I could show you voice memos of me, like, doing some weird stuff. But
no, I mean, that's what I would do for sure if I was, like, trying to remember something I thought of.
Yeah, yeah. So I can kind of play piano. I'm all right at it. I can play the guitar pretty good. I like playing Metallica a lot.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love Metallica.
I'm more of an electric guitar guy. I like the sound of an acoustic guitar, but electric is, like, amazing.
Yeah.
It's just what I grew up on, because my dad introduced me to rock at, like, a really young age.
Cool.
And so a lot of what I like to do is, like, listen to actual music that has actual instruments in it.
Yeah.
And not just generic computer-made music, because it gets boring after a while. After you do, like, make music for a long time, you'll hear the same sounds that you know came from a program.
Yeah,
for sure. In, like, every song, and it just ruins it for you.
Yeah.
And then you listen to live music, and it sounds different no matter what, because every instrument has its own tone.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, just interesting the way that music has gone. And now it's less and less live instruments.
Yeah,
and more.
Especially lately, right? It's like super digital.
Yep.
And like, I like listening to like electronic music, and most of that is from a computer. And then I also like listening to like, you know, like heavy metal and stuff like that, which is like totally not from a computer. It's like made by people.
Yeah.
Or it's made by instruments, rather. And it's just such a different vibe. Like, I like them both, but you can really feel something more from, like, when the human emotion and the instrument is, like, played rather than just, like, digitally made.
Yeah.
But they're both cool, just in different ways.
I feel like when you listen to live instruments playing, it's a completely different feeling. Like, it hits you.
Yeah.
In your body.
Yeah.
But when you listen to, like, digitally engineered stuff, It doesn't hit the same, but it does hit.
Especially
if it's got a lot of bass in it, dude. It's like,
I love bass.
Oh, that's my favorite part.
Why don't we pop a record on at some point?
Pop a record on?
I have records. Vinyl.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. I only have a couple vinyls at home, and it's rap, which is ironic because I was just shitting on all of the digitally engineered stuff. But no, I used to make beats out of just digitally engineered sounds and stuff like that, and that's that's part of why I'm like burnt on it, because I've heard so many of the same sounds
that
basically everyone that's a producer uses. So, but yeah,
I really like Boards of Canada because they go through extreme lengths to get like a random instrument to make one sound out of, so that it's a unique sound. It's like, even though they use like some samples from like old stuff, they also like will get the most obscure instrument, like driving across Europe to go pick it up in someone's garage because it's like old and they want the sound of it.
Yeah.
So it's like just stuff like that to like add more creativity back into the electronic kind of stuff is sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was showing you beats earlier that I have an electric guitar solo thing.
Yeah.
On a rap beat, which is like very rare that you would ever hear that,
but yeah, it was sick,
but it meshed really well, and so I went with it. But yeah, majority of the time with like a rap beat, you would hear like, if any guitar, it would just be like acoustic because it's easy to mix into a song, whereas like electric is in your face and
yeah,
completely different sound, not really what most rap artists would gravitate towards. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
Yeah.
We could talk about music for way too long, but
yeah, music used to be my passion. That's why it's tatted on me, and then I got back into fingerboarding, and it took over my life.
What tattoos do you have? That's a question that I ask on here a lot, actually.
So I don't know if you can see it on the camera. So I have this big wolf here. And I got it because back when I was depressed, I referred to myself as a lone wolf. But then I still had like a huge pack of friends that I gravitated towards and really never split up from. Like I still hang out with those guys pretty much every day. Not actually in person really anymore because everyone has kids now. So it's kind of hard to hang out. But yeah, so I hang out with them still. And anyway, the wolf, I left this part of my wrist right here blank so that when I have my own kid, I can put a little baby wolf underneath it.
Cool.
And then,
oh, that's awesome.
I have
music
tatted on me, some music notes, a piano, the original microphone that I use when I make my own rap and stuff like that, which I don't know if I ever want anyone in like the fingerboarding community to hear that, but it's whatever. I'm just really insecure about the stuff that I made, even though I know that it's good.
Even though it's good?
Yeah.
What the heck?
It's just how it is. But
they're probably already listening to it, but they don't know it's you.
And the rose doesn't really have any significance. I just wanted a rose. But
it just looks cool.
Yeah, and that's all I have.
Sweet. You just have that one, like, half a sleeve?
Yep.
Nothing else. Cool.
My wife has so many tattoos, dude.
Really?
Yeah, like her whole arm. And like, I'm trying to think. She has some in some places that aren't seen. We'll just say that.
Yeah.
You can guess where that is and doesn't really matter. I don't need to tell you
the
that.
Bottom of the foot, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's on her foot. Yeah. No, but she has tattoos on this arm. She has a couple on this arm, and like, yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
You got any tips for people for working through depression? You mentioned you were in the past.
See a counselor.
You found
counseling is important.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to talk to an unbiased person that isn't going to fill your head with BS and make you basically become like narcissistic because you think that you, well, it's not you, I thought that I was fine, and I basically kind of became a narcissist for a while and stopped really like caring about other people as much, and really it's your world, I'm just living in it. But if you said that to me, that's kind of how it felt for a while. But yeah, see a counselor and you'll get like unbiased opinions, and it hits harder when it's somebody that you don't know.
Yeah.
Or that you don't know outside of there, pretty much. But they're going to tell you how it is, and they're going to tell you what you could do to fix what you're going through and what you're doing wrong. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, you apply that to your life and things will change.
That's awesome. Kind of taking responsibility for your own self and your own kind of actions and ways of viewing things too. Like,
yeah.
I think some people underestimate how much that can affect things like depression, because they think like, oh, it's just like a problem that came out of nowhere. It's an imbalance. It's this or that. But it's like, there are often a lot of things that is actually your fault, whether you want to admit it or not.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you can identify those things and then fix them, you have a good chance of getting better without even needing anything else.
Yeah.
So, and not to like blame anyone who's depressed, because I'm not trying to blame people, but the truth is like sometimes there's things you can do to make it better.
Yeah.
For sure. Classic podcast question. Your biggest strength and your biggest weakness.
Biggest strength. Biggest weakness. You know what's funny? I feel like I'm being interviewed for a job. I feel like I got asked that at a job interview.
That's
like,
funny.
Not too long ago. And every time I get questions like that, I'm like, I'm too humble, and I don't like to like talk highly of myself.
All right, I'll give you a biggest strength then. No, you got to do it. I'm gonna make you do it.
I would say being humble is probably my biggest strength.
Perfect.
Yeah,
that's awesome. It is a good strength.
And my biggest weakness was the other one? Is that what you said?
Yep.
Shoot. I don't know, that's hard. I have a lot of weaknesses. Probably.
You have a lot of strengths too.
I have an addictive personality. I don't know. If I find something, I get very, very fascinated with it, and it consumes me.
Yeah. But I mean, if you apply that to the right things, it's not a bad thing.
It's good
for fingerboarding. Yeah. It's good for making anything you want to make, music, fingerboard stuff.
Yeah, it can be a good thing, but it can be a bad thing too if improperly placed.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
So like video games, for example, consume me, and like TV consumes me, and those are all things that everyone enjoys, but I have an addictive personality and I'll do it for hours at a time. So like I'll watch a whole season of a show in one day. Sometimes multiple seasons of a show in one day.
Oh.
While I'm working.
Well, if you're working, it's all right.
Yeah, but I would probably get more done if I wasn't watching anything at the same time.
Yeah, maybe.
But, yeah.
I don't know. It just sounds like you're focused. You like things.
I don't know.
But, yeah, I can see what you mean.
Like video games, for example, though, those can literally consume time.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I will spend hours playing video games.
Yeah. I used to play a lot when I was younger, but I gradually kind of stopped.
Yeah, I don't really play much anymore.
Yeah, me too.
Kind of a dry time for video games right now, other than the Nintendo Switch 2, because I want one of those really bad.
Yep, a few more months, right?
Yeah, June 5th. It's like right before my birthday.
That's not too far away.
You hear that, Lydia? Right before my birthday. That's my wife's name.
Cool.
Giving her an idea for a present. For president? For president, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, she ain't gonna do that. I'll buy it myself. It's like, it's going up in price because of what's happening in the world, so that's cool. I had the money to buy it, and now I have to get more money to buy it. They haven't announced that they're actually changing the price or anything yet, which is cool, but everyone seems to think that that's going to happen. So if it does...
It's possible.
If it does, I will be supremely upset, but I will just get over it and buy it. So.
Yep.
Pokemon, bro. Big fan. They got a new one coming out this year.
Ooh.
And I am going to buy it.
I used to play the original, like, yellow, red, and blue versions on the Game Boy.
Yeah.
Way when I was
played
little.
That on an emulator on my phone.
Like, right before I started fingerboarding, I was super into that. Like, I would bring that everywhere when I was a kid. Just be playing it all the time.
Yeah, dude, it's an addictive game.
It's so fun.
But it's, yeah, it's amazing. And they released the like a remastered version of those that series.
Oh yeah.
On the Switch. It's called Sick. Let's Go. Like Pikachu and Eevee.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're back and we're going to answer the people's questions that they submitted.
Cool.
So, first one, what you think about Brazil? That's the one that I was like, this is so random.
Yeah, Brazil's cool. I like watching soccer. And to my knowledge, one of my favorite soccer players is from Brazil. I think that he plays for the Brazil national team whenever they do, like, World Cup, if I remember correctly. My wife's super big into soccer, so, like, she used to coach.
Cool.
She played soccer in high school and had a scholarship and was going to go to college, and then she, like, got injured and wasn't able to pursue that. But then she started coaching instead and got to fulfill her passion anyway.
Cool.
But, yeah, my favorite player is Neymar, by the way. Yeah, I don't know, I doubt you know who that is, but...
I don't know, but someone might know.
Dude's got some swag. Yeah, cool. No, but he's cool. And he used to play for Barcelona. And then he switched to PSG. And for people that know soccer, you know what I'm talking about. Mike has no idea. So
it's no clue. I think it's you kick a ball towards the net.
Yep, yeah, that's
and
all.
And the ball is white and black.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah,
yep.
No, in like pro soccer or whatever, I don't even know what it's... For like America, I think it's MLS, but everywhere else it's like a different league. So, but they don't really use black and white balls anymore.
Oh.
They use like Adidas branded balls and weird stuff, weird patterns all over the ball. Yeah, it's cool. It's kind of like wheels, but
yeah. Dude, I saw this clip where like it was like supposed to be like an AI filming like a soccer game, and they like mistook a bald dude's head for the ball, and so they just followed his head the whole time.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's funny. Yeah.
So good. All right, next question. Can you do a backflip?
No.
Me neither.
Crazy story. When I was a kid, I was doing a backflip on a trampoline, and I, like, overspun, and didn't land on the trampoline.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I didn't land anything, actually. I hurt myself pretty good, but, yeah. And then my brother did something similar, where he did a backflip on a trampoline, and he landed on his neck.
Oh,
yeah.
That sucks.
And then later that day, he got what are called hemiplegic migraines. And so half your body shuts down. And so, like, he would talk, and, like, part of his mouth would move, and the other was just nothing. And then my dad would make him go like this with his hands, just going alternating back and forth. And he could do it on the one side, and then he'd go over here, and he'd be like, can't move.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's really scary. He still gets them to this day because of it.
Oh, dude.
And it just happens.
That's really crazy.
Wild.
That
yeah.
sucks. All right, backflip's not worth it.
Nope. Stay safe.
Yeah, that's that's insane.
If you're going to do it on like a foam pad or something.
Do it in a video game.
Yeah. Do it where you're not going to get hurt. Do it with your fingers.
Yeah. Maybe into water. Off like
oh,
a,
yeah. I've,
as long as you don't, like, hit the thing you're jumping off because you slipped because your feet are wet.
Yeah, no, I've also seen a kid that did a backflip into a pool that, like, cracked his head open because he hit the side of the concrete
Okay.
For the pool.
Pools are out of the picture. You can skate pools, but don't do flips into them.
No, I didn't ever try to do that. I had friends that could do backflips just on flat ground and stuff.
Yeah, me too, but I couldn't ever. I could do like side flips and front flips, but not back. Like back is super scary.
Yeah, no, ever since I watched my brother land on his neck, it kind of discouraged me from trying to learn.
Yep.
And then if I ever tried, I just couldn't commit to it, so I would do like a side flip or something.
Yeah.
But not a backflip.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But yeah, anyway.
All right. Here's a cool one. What sets your wheels apart from other urethane wheel companies?
Should
we tell them that a lot of them aren't really urethane, apparently? A ton of them just use like plastic resin and call it urethane.
Well, yeah. This is real urethane. This is like the same stuff that they use for real skateboarding wheels. Some brands like 3D print their wheels and they use a different formula, I guess you would call it, but it's a material called TPU. And TPU is similar to urethane in the way that it feels and rides and whatever, but it's not authentically urethane. And then, like Mike said, there's some brands that make wheels and market them as urethane, but they're really just resin. So, yeah. But the question was, how do mine compare to others?
Or what sets yours apart? Like,
what sets mine apart?
You could mention...
passion.
That's true.
Passion.
Yeah.
Probably the best one-word answer I've ever given. Yeah, no, but...
Yeah.
That's probably the best thing I could say.
I think also the way that you make them is different than how others... Like, for example, Joy Cults is made a lot different, and so... They look different and they feel different.
Yeah.
And it's not even about being better or worse because that's always preference, but there's a certain thing about how you make yours that is just different from other brands.
Yeah, so, you make your wheels different than I do.
Yep,
they're not urethane, but
yeah,
it doesn't really matter. Everyone has their own process.
Yeah,
I wouldn't really say that wheels are like different really because they all ride the same. They just have different qualities. They all roll. That's the point of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yours are super, super smooth. Like, for urethane, they never have the egg thing. They never have any imperfections. Like, the riding surface is, like, it seems like it's machined, like I said before, even though it's not machined. It's, you know, urethane.
Yeah.
Molded like a real skate wheel, so.
Yeah. That's high praise coming from this guy. Doesn't even like urethane, now he does.
Now I do, yeah, it's crazy. I honestly didn't think I would at this point, and then I was like, nope, these are actually good.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Two questions. Why did you sell the company to Mike, and what's to come of the riders? Such funny wording. What's to come of the riders? Yeah.
So I didn't sell the whole company to Mike. We'll start there. I think I mentioned that earlier, but I'll just reiterate it. Mike owns the wheels, and I still own the trucks and the merch and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, he pretty much just bought the process of making wheels and being able to manufacture them in his house now instead of mine. And I mean, I'll still be involved, and I'll still occasionally be making some wheels for some drops. But yeah, I won't personally be selling anything on like a Blistered website anymore. The Blistered URL now goes to Flatface. So if you ever want to get Blistered products, Flatface.
Yep. And then he says, what's to come of the riders, like the team riders?
It's all going to stay the same. Yeah, Mike doesn't have any say in that. I'm just kidding. No, Mike and I have agreed that... to keep the feeling of everything pretty much the same, we're going to keep the team the way it is.
Exactly. They even have their discount codes.
Yeah, good
point.
So
if you see the team riders saying, go use my code and save 10% on wheels, you can still do that.
Yeah, but only on Blistered products.
Yep.
So
it's on Blistered wheels, so that's cool. And trucks, actually, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, both. And then what was I going to say? Yeah, maybe we'll add some more people, but the team is not going to shrink.
Yep.
Unless you want it to.
But yeah. No.
It's your team.
Yep.
So.
It's my team. It's his team too. He's part of it, but I'm like still owner of the team.
Yep.
So, it's my say, and then he can give his opinion, and I can roll with what he's saying, or I can make the decision myself. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But ultimately, the team's gonna stay the same, and we've gone through quite a few people on the team in the past. And I feel like right now we're at a point where there's this really good chemistry and it's basically like a little family.
And yeah.
That's how I have always wanted it. And I want everyone to feel passionate about using my product, and they all are pretty passionate about using my product. So.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I feel that for sure. There's definitely like a little vibe with everyone together.
Yep.
It's cool.
Yeah, it feels real. It's not like somebody that messages me and goes, are you sponsoring? I almost said, are you hiring? Are you sponsoring? Like, can I send you my clips to get sponsored? Can you sponsor me? God, that is the worst. I'm sorry. If you do that, majority of the time I just block you. I'm going to be 100% honest. Because I'm not, if you do that, I do not like it. It is such a pet peeve of mine.
That's
if
so
you
want
to get blocked, bro, that is the easiest way. I will block you, I promise.
That's hilarious. I think a lot of people do it with good intention. They're just stoked, but they don't know how it works. Is that you're not really supposed to ask that unless it's like...
Yeah, you don't ask. Such a pet peeve.
You don't really ask. Like, when people ask me, I'm just like, oh, we're not sponsoring, or like, that's not how it works here.
I don't even bother anymore.
Yeah.
Dude, you have no idea how many times I would have to reply in a day. I'm sure you actually do know how that is.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said you have no idea, but...
I mean, I put it on my website on the Q&A thing, so it's like...
Yeah.
Hopefully some people read it there.
Yeah, so I saw that on the New Boosted site. It says, are we sponsoring? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
it's
we're
like,
not.
If we want you, we'll ask you, basically.
Yeah.
Because that's how it works with most brands.
If I want you on my team, I'll reach out to you. Please stop reaching out to me. It does not work like that. There is one person on my team that did that, and I actually was cool with it. Because
you don't need to block people, dude, if they...
No, I swear to God, bro, I do that.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
I don't have to do it. You're right, but I'm going to.
It would probably be better if you don't. Because,
okay.
Dude, what if somebody's like a big fan and then they see that you block them and then they're like, oh, man, I'm not.
They can't see that you blocked
anymore.
Them. On Instagram, it
what
doesn't
do you
show
mean
that.
Block? You mean you're blocking their account,
yeah.
Or you're just like muting their DMs or something?
No, I block them.
No, if you block somebody, they can't see your page anymore.
Yeah.
So they can tell that you blocked them.
Or do they just think that the brand disappeared?
Why would you want that? That's not good. No, but like, dude, they're going to ask their friend, like, yo, I heard Blistered is gone, or like, I couldn't find their page. And then their friend's going to go on and see that your page is on it and be like, dude, he blocked you.
Yeah.
It's like, why? But I was
his
biggest fan.
Why would he have done that? Well, I don't know. Check your DMs and see what you asked me. And see if you feel right about what you asked.
Dude, you got to stop blocking them.
So funny though.
It's funny, but it might be sad. Like, I don't know. I feel like if it's like a little younger kid or something, it was just
no. I get it if it's a child. You can tell when it's a child, bro.
Yeah.
But
dude, some people are like 30-year-old childs.
Another thing that I block is when people message me and they're like, "Hey, I don't have the ability to buy a setup. Is it okay for you to just send me free stuff?" And I'm like, block. I'm sorry. That is a pet peeve of mine. Do not do that.
All right, you guys know what not to do now. You found his pet peeves.
Dude, don't do that.
That's funny.
Who
I
raised
just ignore
you?
Those.
Like,
yeah.
Who do you think you are to just get free handouts? Like, we're a small company. Like, even Mike technically is a small business, even
yeah.
though his is like on a larger scale than mine. But
yeah, it's still a super small company
yeah.
compared to like any like real. Company like in the world making
yeah.
like things.
He has employees to pay. He has like expenses for a lot of things, and
yep.
same with me. I don't have employees, but I have expenses for a lot of things. We don't make a lot of money off of this. Like, a lot of people think that we're loaded,
yeah,
and that's not the case. And everything that I make is handmade and takes time.
Yep.
And it's not like I'm just gonna give you stuff. The only time that I am okay with somebody that messages me and says, hey, can I have some free stuff? It's for a sponsorship for an event.
Yep, same here.
Yeah.
If it's an event and it's a real event, I look into it, make sure it's real.
Yeah.
Then it's like, yeah.
I've never looked into it. I probably will now because...
Always ask them to show you the flyer, see who else is sponsoring, yeah. See if they had a previous event and they can send you a video or photos from it,
yeah.
Stuff like that. And then you'll weed out all the fake ones so you're not just like getting scammed. But yeah, if it's a real event, I'm always super happy to sponsor it. So
yeah, me too. So, as of lately, I've been saying no just because I haven't really been making much products
yet. Yeah, you don't have enough wheels.
Yeah.
But yeah, if we make enough sets, we'll be able to sponsor it as Blistered and Flat Face and just send them some wheels.
Yep. Speaking of, there's a couple guys I wanted to talk to you about that want me to sponsor. And they want you to sponsor as well. They said they already contacted you. But
all right, cool. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Segue.
Yeah. Oh, this is a cool one. What brings you happiness outside of fingerboarding?
My wife. We'll leave it at that. Yep. Shout out, Lid.
It's awesome. Yeah. Not really a question, but a thank you for all you do for the team and community. That's nice.
Is that to you or to me?
I thought it was to you. I don't know. It could be to me. It could be to both of us.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say thank you in case it was for me, but
I'll
I think it's
for you. I'll say
thank
you as well.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know who you were talking to.
Seth
we're
FB.
Both going to say thank you. Oh, it is. Seth's on my subsidiary company team.
Oh, then it's probably for you.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Shout out Seth.
It's for everyone.
We love Seth. Seth is a great guy.
Awesome.
He rides for Broken. Broken is the subsidiary company. We make decks, and that's my wife that makes them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep.
Did you bring one?
No.
You're going to have to mail me one. I don't have one.
Yeah, we haven't really made any in a while just because we've been trying to redesign molds and stuff.
Yeah.
But...
send me one anyways if it's an old one. I don't care.
Okay.
Just check it out. It'd be cool.
Yeah. They have like a longer wheelbase.
Nice.
And like pretty short nose and tail. And they're twin nose and tail.
Cool.
Yeah. I tried to make them like... So my original thought process on twin nose and tail is that if you're getting used to fingerboarding, getting new into the hobby, twin nose and tail... like kick dimensions and length, it makes it easier if you're trying to learn like nollie, switch, and stuff like that because there's no variation in the in the tail,
yeah,
or the nose, you know. So
yeah,
anytime that you would like pop a trick in regular stance, and then you go to land and nollie and make grind out and do a flip out, it'll be the same dimensions on both sides. Doesn't matter what way you land. So
I don't know why I never thought of it that way before, but that totally makes sense.
Yeah,
because I'm always just like, I know which way my board is facing and I'm kind of compensating for if it's forwards or backwards, and like certain tricks I like to use it backwards, like on nollie stuff I want to pop off the tail because I just like it that way better. Unless it's certain tricks, and then I'll put it forward. So it's like I'm always like paying attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you have a good point. If they're both the same, then you don't have to think about that at all.
Yeah, there's like, no variation. It's just the same thing no matter what.
That's cool. I don't know if I would like that more or not, but I've never used one like that for a while. Like I've tried them here and there and just been like, huh, strange. But like I never took the time to get used to it.
Yeah.
It's probably pretty cool once you get used to it for that reason.
Yep.
That's sweet.
Shout out Broken Decks.
Yeah, it's awesome. Would you ever consider offering dual bearing wheels and bearings separately like real skateboards?
Just so that they would be able to put them in by themselves?
I guess so.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe. I mean, you can take them out of dual bearing wheels fairly easily.
You can put them in just as easily, too.
Yeah, you can
so, I mean,
put them
you
in.
You might as well make that an option.
Yeah, we could. Yeah. It's funny. Put it together yourself. Just save us a few minutes of time.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe. Fingy Fingerson says, can we please keep the OG V3 streets? Love the embossed letters and overall profile.
So the OG V3 streets, the way I used to make those is the reason why I stopped making them. And I won't divulge any further into it, but I just don't do it that way anymore. And that mold has been retired. But, segue, basically the V3 streets are back, but the way that I make them now is a little different. Like the process, not actually the shape itself. The shape is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the flat face and blistered collaboration. And they've been around for like 4 months.
I don't know when we made those.
Yeah, I don't even remember. I've
probably
done so much
longer
stuff in between
that. I feel like it's longer. But anyways, yeah, okay. So the OG V3 is now the flat face V3. Cool.
Yep.
So those are available still. How long have you been fingerboarding for?
Since I was 10, roughly.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's sick. I started when I was 9.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. Last one. Favorite video game of all time?
Ooh, that's a good question. I could sit here for so long. I'm going to say the one that, like, my childhood was consumed by. Actually, I'm going to say a few. So you got Rampage World Tour. I don't know if you ever played that.
No.
It was like some weird game on, like, the Nintendo 64 that you basically became, like, these mutant monsters. And it was like a side-scrolling game where you, like, destroyed cities and ate people. And did so much cool stuff. But, yeah, I never actually beat the game. I never got far enough to beat the game because I don't recall whether or not it had save data. So you would have to, like, restart every time that you would have to play the game.
I think you have to get a special memory pack that you put in the controller, right? For N64.
Yeah, yeah, and I never had one.
Dang.
Wasn't fortunate enough to have one of those. And then another game, Twisted Metal.
Sounds
and it was
familiar.
Like a demolition derby type game. And it was awesome. One of my favorite games of all time, for sure. And then that was back on PlayStation 1 that I played that. Yeah, that was forever ago to think about. But The Simpsons Hit and Run. That's a great game. I don't know if you ever played it.
No.
It's like GTA, but with The Simpsons.
Whoa. Crazy.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, I have so many memories from, like, video games that I played religiously as a child.
Yeah.
And that's one of them, for sure.
That's cool.
And I'll just leave it at 3. 3 is a good number.
Yeah.
Those are probably awesome. My top 3.
Cool.
I know you said, what's your favorite? I don't have a favorite. That's really hard to choose.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, we got to get back to making wheels.
Yep.
So that's all the questions. It's a good place to stop.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the podcast. It was awesome.
Yep. And we're going to do the iconic handshake one more time for you. Boom.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
See ya.